Ben Fred Fridays with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. See the website, stlcriminaldefense.com. This is presented by Henderson and Watercutty. They're available 24-7, 645-4400, 645-4400. Look at their website. Any type of offense, they can help you. stlcriminaldefense.com. Well, Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, what an atmosphere last night, huh, for the St. Louis Blues at Enterprise Center and winning 3-2.
Man, a great win and a great start to this series, because this series is going to be a war, man. I mean, these teams are both playing incredible hockey coming into this. Both have had outstanding goaltending, and the Blues draw first blood. And really, I thought it was important for them because they got a few things going in a way that, you know, I think could set a tone for the series. One, they got to Ben Bishop, and he had been outstanding in the first round. He had been one of the hottest goalies in the postseason entering this series. So to get, you know, to find that you can score on him, I think that sets a positive tone. Two, you get Vladimir Tarasenko going. That probably should have been number one. He had been, I wouldn't say quiet in the first series, but he hadn't been, you know, the goal producer the Blues have come to expect when he's at his best. And he comes out in a big game in game one and really was outstanding. He won that game for him. And then the third thing, Dan, I think the ability to crack the Stars' penalty kill was huge. I mean, they went 15 for 15 on the penalty kill against Nashville. So to set a tone there and to say, hey, this is going to stop, I think that opens the series up a little bit.
I also think that, you know, we've talked so much throughout the season that the fact is your big players have to step up. And you know, last night, Tarasenko did that. And in particular, his second goal driving to the net was just incredible. And that's kind of vintage Tarasenko. But if you can get him going and get him hot, it's kind of like having the hot hand in basketball. You feed the ball, you're right? You got the hot hand in certain sports. You want to get it to him, and you want to see him continue and carry that thing over into the rest of the playoffs. But I thought that was a major factor in the game last night.
Oh, I mean, he totally raises your ceiling. And he, I think it's fair to point out that, you know, he, for the Blues to do the thing that has been impossible for them in the entirety of their existence, which is win the Stanley Cup. And it's fair to point out that this has never been as wide open as it is right now for this team. They have to have Vladimir Tarasenko, the goal scoring star. Now, he has done a better job this season, more than any other season, of playing a complete game. He's not just a guy who scores and does nothing else. He's committed. And so there are games where he doesn't score, where he's made a positive impact, but they don't have anybody on the team who can score like he can score. And that goal, you know, that signature Tarasenko bull rush the net and try to stop me and you still can't, upper decker on Bishop last night, that shows you exactly what he can bring that few other players can offer. So it was impressive that they won the series, the first series, without that many, you know, goals from him. He was good on the power play, but wasn't as good on even strength in terms of scoring. So for him to come on now, and I think that's what makes his team so dangerous, is they've got layers of guys who can change the game. You know, you saw Schwartz quiet for most of the first series, and he breaks out in a major way in the final two games. And now all of a sudden, Tarasenko is rolling. I guess the hope is that everybody fires on the same cylinders at once, and then that team can win the Stanley Cup. But even, you know, in order to get there, it's going to be impossible to have everybody playing at the top of their level every single night. So you have enough guys that can have big games. And there isn't a person on the team who can have a bigger game than Vladdy, except for maybe Jordan Binnington, who – He won first round against Ben Bishop, and that's a fascinating story there. You've got two guys, late round picks, both overlooked and are now emerging as stars of the postseason, one proven in Bishop and one trying to become that way in Binnington. Binnington, you know, is the first to plant his flag in the series. So I think it was a really, really great start for a series that I think is going to go seven games. And the Blues showed me a lot. I thought Dallas had their number a little bit headed into this, and they proved me wrong in game one.
Well, I still think that, you know, the one factor of this season that turned everything around, and you can look at Pietrangelo, you can look at Binnington, you can look at, oh, I'm sorry, Tarasenko, but to me, the one thing that stood out, and it's not making a, you know, like a billboard statement here, but Jordan Binnington, they just play different in front of him. He comes up with big saves, And, you know, that's the one thing that the Blues, when you look at over the years at times, what they had to have in postseason play was top-notch goaltending. And, you know, you call it the Kurt Warner story, call it, you know, a flash in the pan, whatever you want to call it. This guy can flat-out play, and he's taken his game to another level, and with it, the team to another level. And to me, that's the difference in the St. Louis Blues.
Well, I think that's completely fair. I would not overlook Craig Berube's introduction to the team as the head coach as a catalyst here. But the biggest has been Binnington. It's not just how he plays; it's how the team plays in front of him. I think there's a confidence in him that has kind of rejuvenated this hockey team. They feel like if we go out and play our brand, we've got a guy behind us that we can win with. And not that they didn't feel that way about Jake Allen, but you know, there's a difference with Jake. When the goal goes in, you almost kind of thought, okay, another one's coming, and this is going to fall off. When one gets by on Binnington, the kind of the feel is like, oh, they got lucky, and he's going to lock back in here, and they very well cannot score again. There isn't, you know, the snowball's not always ready to roll down the hill and turn into an avalanche, it seems. And maybe it gets that way. Maybe at some point he goes through a bad stretch. Goalies are kind of like closers in baseball, right? It's very hard to be dominant over a long period of time. But I do think they have a newfound – it's not newfound anymore. They have a different level of confidence with him back there. And I think it kind of spreads to the whole team. And I do think that's a major, major reason they're here right now. And if he can, you know, add Ben Bishop to his wall here of goalies that he's gone against and outmatched, then I think you're going to start hearing more about this guy nationally. And we know he's an emerging star. The Blues know that, obviously. But I think if he can push aside Ben Bishop, then all of a sudden he's going to be the guy everybody in hockey is talking about.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again, and really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. Can you imagine Saturday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon in downtown St. Louis with the Cardinals and the Reds and the Blues going in game number 2? Another madhouse in St. Louis. It's going to be fun tomorrow.
Yeah, the Budweiser sales will be going strong.
Yes, sir. That's the best way to look at it.
I'd love to see a metric on that.
Oh, man. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. Ballpark Village gets packed for both, so it'll be great. I want to switch gears and talk a little baseball with you. The Cardinals, you know, Mike Schilt, there's a number of things that I think about. And, again, this is brought to you by Henderson and Watercutty, stlcriminaldefense.com, and the number 645-4400. There's a number of things that stand out to me about Mike that makes him very good at what he does. But right now, base running has improved. The defense with Goldschmidt and Wong and DeJong is way improved, in my opinion, and Carpenter on the infield. But the way that they played at home, and they had to get better at home. And, you know, he made that a point of emphasis. And, Ben, you know, they're doing it. They're playing very well at Busch Stadium.
Yeah, they regained their teeth at Busch, and it's huge, man. It does matter. And I always thought that was something that you know, even under the Matheny era, the Cardinals did a good job of, and then it slipped. And then all of a sudden it went from being this thing that it was important when they did it well, and then it wasn't so important when they didn't do it well. And it just never really meshed. I mean, this team needs to have the upper hand at home. It needs to keep fans wanting to come to the ballpark. It needs to create that atmosphere that's, I wouldn't necessarily say it's imposing, but there's a standard that's expected. And one of the things I appreciate about Schilt is that he calls a spade a spade. He says, look, we need to win it. We need to be better. We need to have an advantage at home. And we need to run the bases better. We need to play the way that Cardinals fans can be proud of. And they're playing that way, especially when they're in front of their fans. I think that is, over the course of a season, you know, your home field should give you a bump. You should have a better record there than you do on the road. That's what good teams do. They turn it into an advantage. And this team certainly has done that. And I think, too, you know, it's nice to see the Brewers away from Miller. That shows you there's some room there to beat these guys, and they're not exactly the space for Death Star that they are at Miller Park. And Cardinals can be pretty good at home too. So when you're looking at that division, especially with the way the Brewers hit at home, then you better have an advantage where you play, because you're going to need to make up some games that you might get drowned out there and there due to the amount of runs that team can score. So look, the fans have been showing up. They have to like what they see from this group at home, and I think too, it's even more impressive that usually, you know, it's this time of the year where we're talking about how the balls are staying down, and you know, the wait till it gets warmer, some of these shots going out. These guys are putting balls out of the stadium in a hurry, and they're not just relying on the home run either. I think that's, to me, the biggest thing the fans have seen since they've been at the ballpark watching this team play, is the offense has power, but it's not power reliant. They can move runs. They're being smarter with two strikes. You did a great job on one of the recent broadcasts pointing out the amount of hits they had on two strike counts.
Right.
And also, you know, getting better with runners in scoring position. I think we're seeing an offense that is more versatile and more dynamic. They can hit home runs, but they're not sitting around waiting for them to happen either.
What are your thoughts on Andrew Miller? Sometimes spectacular, and they've been few and far between. It's there, mm-hmm. clearly, because there are times he's been dominant, but the other day, again, was not pretty. So what are your thoughts on Andrew Miller?
Well, he's the biggest question mark, I think, on the team right now. I mean, you've got Marcelo Ozuna going, and you're less and less worried about him the more and better that he hits. His defense is a little crazy, but we said all along, if he hits, you don't really worry too much about the other stuff. But Andrew Miller's the one you go, okay, how's this going to play out? Now, look, he's apparently healthy. The velocity's there. It's not exactly like he's, you know, throwing 80 miles an hour. So there's nothing to point to health-wise. He says he feels fine. And the movement is there. In some ways, it's almost too much. But it doesn't seem to be getting better. And it gets better, and then it goes away. You know, the last time out, you know, they had to pull him for Hicks. I thought, you know, you really learned a lot by watching Yadi. Molina didn't have a clue where the ball was going to go. And that's a concern, you know, when he's showing frustration behind the plate because he feels like he doesn't know what to expect. Not frustration toward Miller, but I think they're both frustrated. And I know Andrew is. He's a pro. He's going to try to get this thing figured out. There aren't signs that say it's some sort of health problem, which I don't know if that's good or bad at this point. But it's been mostly bad, man. I mean, you look at, you know, we people make jokes about him being turning into Brett Cecil, but if you look at Brett Cecil's numbers over his first 10, 12 games as a Cardinal and compare him to Andrew Miller's, Cecil's are much better. I mean, this has been really a rough start for him. And the Cardinals have a lot of reasons financially to try to have him keep figuring this out. They don't have a deep pool of left-handed relief options. There's all the incentives to get this going. But if they don't get better results here, then they're going to have to minimize his role, and they're going to have to figure out a way to attack the left-handed hitters in this division. I said when they signed Andrew Miller, it's probably unfair to expect him to be Andrew Miller, the guy who, you know, kind of revolutionized that role. But I also thought that without a doubt, on his worst day, he would be the Cardinals' best-handed left best option in left-handed relief. And so far, he has not been that. And that's been a disappointment. And it's a pretty significant question for this team moving forward.
Well, it looks like the Cardinals will put Carlos Martinez in the bullpen and not stretch him out for the rotation. I think timing is part of that. Also, you know, I think they figure they can make this thing a monster out there in the bullpen. If they go in that direction, do you think that's the right direction with Carlos?
Well, I mean, we can only know what they tell us about his health, right? Like, I don't have his scans. I don't have access to how his, you know, medical evaluations are. But I'm getting so frustrated with this debate because I hear from people who go, well, they got to put him in the rotation. I mean, he's Carlos Martinez, and look at how the rotation has had some blips. And I think everyone in their right mind says, yes, if Carlos Martinez is healthy and performing at to the top of his capabilities, he is absolutely a starter. I don't know that anyone has ever disagreed with that. But that's not the situation, according to the Cardinals. They say that he can't throw his full velocity, his full, you know, letting it go to the best of his ability and repeat that again and again, you know, over the course of the game that would be required from a starter. So if he can't do that, if his body is limited, or if he, for whatever reason, can't perform like he needs to be able to make starts, what is better for the Cardinals? What is better for Carlos? Is it better to use him in the capacity that you can as a reliever, or is it better to just not have him pitch or have him pitch, you know, a bunch of rehabs to try to figure something out that has not been figured out dating back for a while now? I mean, if you look at last season and some of the struggles that he has as a starter, something's going on here. And we're not going to get probably the root cause of what exactly it is, but the Cardinals have said they've tried to, you know, test that, and they don't feel like he has what it takes in order to be a starter. If he could prove that he did, I think the Cardinals would be ready to say, all right, let's put him in the rotation. Let's make some way here. But it's not happening. So I would rather see him get used at the major league level because his stuff is so good in some capacity than as to not use him because you're hoping that all of a sudden something clicks for him to be a starter. We saw what he could do out of the bullpen last year. I think he could be a force back there. And if he's bought in and if he has that kind of relief mentality that he seems to have when he knows he's not trying to work through, you know, multiple innings as a starter, he's a dangerous pitcher. So, you know, if he was in a perfect world, he's a starter. But the world's not perfect, and his increasingly has not been perfect the past season and then some.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients. And this is why you can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400, 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. Alex Reyes, start last night for Memphis, only 22 strikes in 46 pitches, 2 walks, a couple of wild pitches, in two and two-thirds innings for the Memphis Redbirds. That concerns me a little bit, certainly with Alex, because now he's in the rotation, and, you know, lack of control is one of the reasons that he was sent down there. I'm a little concerned about that. But the stuff is just electric, and I want the best for this young man. What do you think the next step is? I mean, clearly he keeps pitching, but where do you think Alex Reyes lies in the plans right now for the Cardinals?
Yeah, that's a great question, and you have to kind of balance it with what you've seen from him and also the what you've seen from the rotation so far. This last turn through the rotation, it looked a little bit better, right? I mean, it wasn't quite as scary as it was, you know, the first time or two through. So maybe you got a guy like Daniel Ponce de Leon who's kind of gotten his thing figured out. That wasn't the Daniel Ponce de Leon we saw at spring, so there's some more depth for you. So it's not like it's Alex Reyes or bust, but you know, I do wonder, because of the way the rotation has performed, because of the way that Carlos Martinez's comeback has been structured, and because of the blips that Alex Reyes has had, I do wonder if the Cardinals are going to end up at some point needing to add a starter, whether it's at the deadline or at some point before, because they have the depth, but they don't necessarily have the top level depth that maybe they thought they did. Reyes is, you know, I said before the season started, it's probably best to view Alex Reyes as a non-factor until proven otherwise. And nothing against him. I mean, goodness, I like Alex a lot, and his path back has been, you know, it's been a lesson in how to attack something. He wants this more than anybody could want it for him. But you know, this is a tough challenge. He's coming back after back-to-back season-ending injuries. He's a young guy who throws very hard, who's had pretty limiting injuries, and oftentimes there's some hurdles there. Sometimes that ones that jump up that aren't always seen. All reports are positive on his health, but there are things besides health. There's getting a feel. There's the command. There's all these things that guys who pitch every single year have a hard time with from time to time. Look at Andrew Miller. And then you take a guy like Alex Reyes, who's young and hasn't had the reps. And I think he's just working through some things. I don't know that you can bring him back, whether it's as a reliever or as a starter, until he feels like he has a command for his stuff, until he shows he can throw strikes at Memphis. Until he can do that, then I don't really know that we can sit here and talk about what role is best for him in the majors, because no role is best for him in the majors until he can throw strikes. His stuff's great, but if it's not making people swing or take strikes, then it doesn't have much use.
What we like to do with Ben Fred Fridays is also review the week that was, and sometimes look ahead to the weekend. This is presented by Henderson and Watercutty, protecting your rights, defending your freedom. And they're there 24/7, 645-4400, 645-4400, the number 24/7. If you're in trouble, give them a call. Need help, give them a call. Also, check out their outstanding website, stlcriminaldefense.com, and they do just an amazing job with that website. So any offense can be covered there on that website to get their help. I want to go back to MLS for a moment. We spoke about the exciting news last Friday of MLS coming to St. Louis. And then on Saturday, after we recorded this, they released the stadium renderings. I think it's spectacular. I think they've done their due diligence. I talked to both Jim and Carolyn Kendall Betts on the website, and folks can hear that, by the way, right now. It's up, which answers a lot of questions about the renderings in the stadium and what's next. But just your thoughts on what you saw from the reaction of the people, what you're hearing with MLS coming to St. Louis, it looks like, and then the stadium renderings as well.
I think folks are fired up, man. I did not see many people who did not like the design of the stadium. I think the coolest thing about it, in my mind, is what Carolyn says is her favorite part, and I agree with her, is that the proximity of every seat to the field. You know, you've been in stadiums before where you feel like, man, there's some bad seats in here. This one doesn't have that. This is the one of the ones where you can have the most expensive or the least expensive seat in the house and feel like you got a good view and you're close to the field. That's I think the benefit. You want soccer to be intimate. You want everyone to feel involved, and I think this accomplishes that. One of my biggest questions about the stadium was that, are they just going to open it up and let people bake in the sun? Because that might not be very enjoyable for the players or the fans. And I think that the square design with the shading, it really answers that. I think that was a smart call as well. And they're going to do so many things around it. And you saw some teasers of it in the information that was released, but the mixed use areas. And I think it's very smart that they're planning on having this be a place that can be of interest and value to St. Louisans who are not just there for soccer. I mean, you only get so many home games per year. So how can they make it so it's appealing as a concert venue or as a, you know, a venue for tournaments of non-MLS teams? So, you know, they want people to be in that area, going to shops, going to restaurants, spending their time there, whether the team's there or not. And I think that is a much better plan than just slapping a stadium down and saying, hey, come when there are games. This is going to be an area that I think the whole ownership group has thought a lot about how to make it kind of an avenue toward downtown and also, you know, toward the Forest Park area. They don't want it to just be a structure. They want it to kind of be a funnel to get people going both ways and to open up downtown. I think that is should be appreciated, and I think it could be effective, especially on nights and days like we're talking about on Saturday, where there's going to be multiple things going on. They want to be a part of that scene, and I think this will allow them to be.
Could you imagine what that would be like? And this is something that we talked about. You know, you could have the Blues playoff game, a Cardinal baseball game, and at night, an MLS game. And, you know, I mean, this is exactly what we talked about, to make St. Louis a buzzing place downtown on these game days. And there's no question. People would be going wild over this. And this is a sports town. It's one of the great sports towns in America. And if you had three major sports going on at the same time, St. Louis would be a destination place to go watch sports. It'd be great.
Yeah, and I think, too, there's been a corner turn here to some degree. I mean, I was thinking about this with the announcement of the 2020 gymnastics trials. At Enterprise, when you look at some of the events that are coming to Enterprise, you know, look at the NCAA tournament first and second round and some of the NHL All-Star game, you know, Enterprise, the debate about the renovations at Enterprise, whether you were for it or against it, it stemmed around the fact, the argument that upgrading the arena, upgrading the venue would allow more events to come. It would entice more traction and create more traction for events that generated money for the area. So whether you agreed with the renovations or not, you can't argue that it's already happening. You're looking at the NHL All-Star game comes because of that. The Olympic trials, which I'm telling you, man, like if you've never been to something like that, get a ticket and go.
It's phenomenal. Yes.
It's one of the more impressive things you're going to see. Then, you know, the money that the basketball brings in, I mean, the concerts are getting, you know, they're more appealing to concert venues. It is working. So, you know, these things, if you have an appealing venue, people want to come. And I think we're already seeing signs of that. And it really ties into just kind of the, I don't know what the right word for it. Maybe I need to come up with one, but it does kind of feel like a bit of a response to, you know, the way things fell out with the Rams, a response to some of the things that were said. And I think St. Louis has a lot of pride, and it's showing, look, you know, we're not exactly how some make us out to be. And
no
I think
question.
Landing MLS will be a nice pivot for that, but it's not the only thing going on either.
I'm going to wrap it up with this. Drew Locke is still undrafted. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely thought by now we would be talking about where he's headed, and it probably will, by the time folks are listening to this, hopefully he'll have a destination, but it was, you know, pretty significant that he fell out of the first round, and I got to eat some curl on this, Dan. I thought he was going to go pretty high. I definitely thought he was going to be a top 15 pick, and I guess I was drinking the Kool-Aid a little too much. I do wonder what he was told that made him decide to go to the draft, because there was a time when he was planning on watching it from KC. Drew's dad has a restaurant. He was going to do a watch party there, but something happened around his pro day, maybe a little bit before, that he decided I want to go. I wonder if something changed on him, if he felt like he got some bad info or what. But, you know, this is going to be something that Drew holds on to. And I think that it's one of those things that you can use for better or for worse. It can be something that kind of cripples you, or it can be something that, you know, fuels you. And knowing Drew, it will be something that fuels him. I do think he has his best football ahead of him. That's what Gary Pinkel said. I talked to Gary last night. He said the same thing. He thinks Drew's going to get better and better as a pro. And I do wonder if maybe this, you know, if there's a silver lining here, maybe he ends up at a place that doesn't have as much pressure to win now. And maybe he can develop a little bit more in terms of, you know, what's best for his future. But certainly the financial hit is there. And you feel bad because he went down there, had to sit in the green room while everybody was getting taken ahead of him. That's not something he's going to forget. And I imagine it will be a motivating factor for him for the rest of his career, no matter how long it is.
Well, he can just call up Aaron Rodgers and ask him how that went for him.
I mean, I did look it up last night just for some perspective. I think, you know, everybody talks about Tom Brady being drafted in the sixth round. Russell Wilson was in the third, I believe, and I think Drew Brees was second. So he's got maybe some good company there. I'm not saying he's going to be one of those guys, but look, it doesn't exactly matter when you're drafted. If the draft day where you're drafted is the highlight of your career, then you didn't have a very good career. So I think maybe some delayed gratification might be the goal for Drew.
Ben, as always, these are fun, and we'll check in with you, I'm sure, over the weekend. But we'll talk and hook up on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com next Friday. Thank you, sir.
Sounds good, man. Talk soon. Have a good weekend.
I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.